Well, no doubt sometime tonight or sometime tomorrow morning, you're going to be opening some presents and some packages. And some families do it on Christmas Eve. Some families do it on Christmas morning. But I'm sure that it's going to be a delightful and wonderful time that is the culmination of weeks worth of shopping and weeks worth of searching and stressing and wrapping and letters to Santa and praying for gifts under the tree. Hallelujah. Amen. It's finally here. No more anticipation. We've lit the Christ candle. It is time to party because Jesus has come to this earth. God has sent His one and only Son, and we celebrate His birth today. God is good. God is good. Now, I used to celebrate gifts as a kid by the JCPenney catalog. Anybody remember the JCPenney catalog? This was before iPods and laptops and iPads and all the data and all the technology that's out there. You get this big old thick JCPenney catalog, and they had a toy section up in that thing. And I would open that up, and I would go right to the G.I. Joe section. Am I talking to the right people here tonight? And I would circle all of the G.I. Joe stuff. I mean, I'm talking like Cobra and Storm Shadow and Duke and the Hiss Tank and all that other stuff. I'd circle that. I know some of you still have some G.I. Joe stuff at home. And then I'd circle some of the Star Wars stuff and Transformers. Isn't it amazing how some of that stuff just hasn't left? It just continues to reinvent itself. Optimus Prime, Grimlock. I'd circle them all. And I'd hand the catalog over and I'd say, Mom, just give me I want the entire toy section. Just all of it right here. Tell Santa Claus so he can come and bring that stuff to me. And it's so easy for us to think that the purpose of Christmas is wrapped up in, well, all of the wrapping paper, wrapped up in all of the presents. And I'm here to tell you as a pastor tonight, as your pastor here at Rolling Plains Church, to confirm for you that Christmas is all about the presence. But it's about the presence of God. It's not about the presences. It's about the presence of God. That God has come in His great presence in His Son, Jesus Christ. And in Christ, He brings many gifts with Him. And tonight, we just want to take a simple look at the presence of God, the birth of a Savior in Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at the angels descending down upon the shepherds as they share with the shepherds four gifts that the presence of Jesus Christ brings, that the presence brings into their life. And that first gift is the gift of good news. The gift of good news. Now, oftentimes we think about Christmas time and we think, well, it's good news. Hey, I get a little bit of a vacation. Praise be to God. That's good news. Or I get to eat a little bit of good food. Now, some of you have already worked on the cookie tray today. Am I talking to the right people? Who's worked on a cookie tray today already? Or you've already had some good food, some ham and some turkey. Or you've had a thing of Buckeyes or some pie, or apple pie, or whatever it might be. And tomorrow it might be ham or more ham or leftover ham or whatever it might be. And it's just going to be good food. And we say, well, that in and of itself is good news. Or maybe for us, we're thinking that good news is coming in the presence of, TV specials or Christmas musicals or all the Christmas music on TV. Or the good news is we're finally getting that Lexus with the red bow on it in the driver when we wake up in the morning. I mean, hallelujah, right? Everybody should get a Lexus for Christmas with a red bow on top of it. And then you get 80 months worth of payments on top of it. Merry Christmas, right? And so we think all that stuff is good news. Well, if that's the only good news that we think that comes at Christmas time, we are missing out on the greatest news of all time. And that is the birth of a Savior. In Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, here is the account of the angels approaching the shepherds. It says, and their shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. You see, every day we live in a world that is filled with bad news. Bad news seems like it comes at us from every single angle and every way, shape, or form. It seems like every time we turn on a media device, we get on Facebook, we get on the news, we get on the internet, we turn on the television set or the radio, we hear about the latest news and the latest scandal that's out there, violence in Missouri or violence in New York City and all this tragic stuff that comes our way, or we just deal with our own bad news in our own life. Some of us have dealt with bad news just today. We come home from work and the kids are off the walls bouncing all over the place and we get the hospital bill in the mail and someone yelled at us at work that day and the car dies and then we just discovered that the spouse calls us and the water heater is dead and a friend has betrayed us, we found out. I mean, you ever have days like that? It's just filled with bad news and filled with challenges. Every time the phone rings or you get a text message, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop or for the challenge to come. And all we do is to try to survive the bad news, to try to get past the bad news or to get through the bad news. We are in a world that is starving for good news. We're in a world that's starving for just a good word, some positive information, something that will lift our spirits and give us hope. And I just came by to tell you today that this is Christmas Eve, and we are celebrating the greatest news of all time. Jesus Christ has been born for you and for me. And that in of itself is good news. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. In Luke chapter 2, verses 11 to 12, continuing on in that story, it says, the angel said, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. So we already know the source of good news. The source of the greatest news you can ever experience in your life is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the source of good news, a Savior for the world, God's gift to all people, help for our life, and care for all of our concerns and challenges. He came just for you. He came just for me. And that in and of itself is the greatest news ever. But that good news comes in three distinctive forms. Good news is this, that God loves you. God loves you. That is great news. Christmas is God saying to you, I love you. I loved you enough to send you my son. Everlasting, unconditional, and perfect love. And there's nothing that you can do to change his love for you. There's nothing more you can do to earn more of his love. And there's no mistake in your life that you can do more of to earn less of his love. His love for you is unchanging. It has been kept for you. And when we are loved like this with a perfect love, we don't have to worry about tomorrow. We don't have to worry about today. We don't have to have fear or anxiety, because the Bible says, the author John in 1 John 4:18 says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear. You see, God came in Jesus Christ to replace your fear with joy. And why is that? Because another piece of good news, God is with us. God loves you, and God is with us. Emmanuel, that's what God with us is. Emmanuel, that's what Emmanuel means. God is with you, and that means you don't face life on your own. You don't go through challenging circumstances by yourselves. And when God is near, it removes our fear, and his life has our life in his hands, in his hands. And so God loves you. God is with you. And number three, God is for you. That's all good news. God is for you. God is not against you. God is not a mean kid on an anthill with a magnifying glass. He is the God of the universe who is fully powerful, fully capable, fully able to be our great provider. But not only that, he is willing. You have a God who is willing and able to provide all things for you because he is for you. There is nothing that will come your way, no issue, no trial or challenge that God can't overcome. The Bible says nothing is impossible for God. And it says all things are possible with God in our life. That is the promise that God wants you to keep tonight. So that's the first gift that God gives us in the birth of Christ in his presence, is the gift of good news. And the gift of good news is this, that we've been given the gift of salvation, which is the second piece. You have been given the gift of salvation, and every single one of us needs to be saved. If we're honest, every one of us wants to be rescued. Every one of us wants to be saved. If we didn't need saving, God wouldn't have gone through all of the trouble. He wouldn't have gone through all of the trouble of getting camels into the picture, getting donkeys into the picture, getting a stable and a manger into the picture, you know, having them go to an inn and it didn't work out, and so they went to the backwoods area of a stable. He wouldn't go through all the trouble of having his one and only son beaten and cursed upon and crucified and dead and buried. If you didn't need to be saved, God would not have gone through all that trouble to sacrifice his son to deliver to you a Savior on Christmas Day. But he is the great rescuer of our life. He is the great rescuer of our life from the path of destruction. And now some of you say, well, if he came to save me, then why am I still dealing with this trial and this challenge and this struggle in my life? You know, our idea of saving is to be removed from the challenges of life. Oftentimes we picture Jesus like Katniss Everdeen, who would just throw some flaming arrows into our problems and just off all of those issues. We picture Jesus like the Avengers. You know, if we could just get a little Incredible Hulk in here or Captain America to blow away all of our problems. But you see, Jesus came to save you from something much more harmful than external circumstances and situations. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 59:2, Isaiah writes, your sins are the roadblock between you and your God. That's why he doesn't answer your prayers or let you see his face. He says, basically, the greatest trial and challenge is ourselves. God came to save us, not from our external circumstances. He came to first save us from ourselves. We are our own worst enemy. The enemy isn't out there. The enemy is inside of us. With all of the things that we do, all the attitudes that we have, the way that we treat people, the way that we treat ourselves, the way that we don't treat people, and the way that we should treat people, the selfish pride that we carry, the ignoring God and doing our own thing. God calls that and labels that sin. And that sin separates us from God. And that sin is the gravest single issue that we can have in our life. And until He will save you in here, until you allow Him to save you in here, you will never feel like He's saving you out there. You'll never feel like God is rescuing you from your circumstances because He hasn't changed your life from the inside out. He hasn't given you a new perspective on what He's about to do. We don't need a superhero to deal with all the stuff out there. We need the perfect sacrificial grace that can only come from God, that died for us for the sin that lives inside of our hearts and inside of our lives. We are only saved by faith. We are only saved by faith in Jesus Christ. By faith and not by force. By faith and not by force. In Ephesians, Paul writes in the Bible in chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." It is the gift of God. This is a gift. Salvation is a gift to you. And that is the second thing that comes in God's presence through Jesus Christ. The first one is the gift of good news. Here's the third gift that comes with Christ's presence. Christ's presence brings us peace. Brings us peace. Now, just today, some of you were freaking out a little bit. You probably run into Walmart or Kroger for the very last thing that you needed. You ran out of eggnog or something. And who runs out of eggnog? I mean, about a half a glass of that is enough to just knock anybody out. I'm telling you right now. Or you forgot that package or that present that you needed to purchase. And you're braving the store or the mall. And it's just crazy and chaotic. And we go through all this scheduling. And I know I talked to some of you on Sunday and said, "Hey, which Christmas Eve service are you coming to?" And it says, "Man, our schedule's so crazy. I don't even know when the family's going to get here. We'll finally find out probably on December 24th when we're going to go to the 5:30, the 7, or the 11. Because we are just living such an incredibly fast pace with the scheduling and the traveling and the cooking and this frantic pace. Hey, let me ask you a question. Whatever happened to peace on earth around Christmas? Am I talking to the right people here, Dad? I mean, whatever happened to peace on earth come Christmas time? Is it, you know, oh, by the way, and peace on earth and oh, yes, goodwill towards men. It says right here in Luke chapter 2, verse 13 to 14, "And suddenly appeared a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying," and this is to the shepherds again, "Glory to God in the highest, and what? And on earth peace and goodwill towards men." Jesus Christ came to bring life and bring peace into your life. He came to bring peace for the storms of life. He came to bring peace into the chaos of life. And He's the only one that can do it. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that He's the Prince of it. Jesus Christ Himself is the Prince of Peace. And if you need something, and the person who says the Prince of it, then you need to go to that person, because that person has all you need and access to that very thing you need. He's the Prince of it, for goodness sake. So Jesus is the source of all peace. He's a source of some special kind of peace. He is the source of peace that can bring calm into our spirit, into our soul. He is a source of spiritual peace. You see, it's the sin in our life that puts us at odds with God. It puts us at odds with God, and it breaks our relationship with Him. It causes us to lack purpose. It causes us to feel lost and to feel empty inside and to feel like our life doesn't have any meaning. And when you feel like that, you don't have any internal peace. But Jesus came to make you right with God and to bring peace into your life between your relationship with you and God. Paul writes in Romans in chapter 5, verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, that word justified is kind of a funny word. It's just a Christian term, a churchy term for being made right. So let me read that again to you. "Therefore, since we have been made right through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus is the ultimate peacemaker between you and God. And it's only by faith in Jesus Christ, only through His grace and His love, only through inviting Jesus into our life by asking Him to forgive us of our sins and to change us from the inside out, only through that relationship in Him do we have access to God and can we have peace for our souls spiritually. With Jesus in our life, we also have emotional peace. Oh man, and do we need some emotional peace? I mean, we need emotional peace for stuff that's going on in our mind. We just need a peace of mind to deal with the daily stresses and trials and anxieties and struggles of life. And Paul says that's exactly what Jesus came to do. In Philippians, Paul writes this in the Bible. He says, "Be anxious for nothing. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through" who? Through Christ Jesus. Not through a talk show, you know, not through some book that you need to read, not just by going deep inside of yourself and discovering who you are. Only through Jesus Christ can you have truly emotional peace and have a solid, rock-solid peace of mind. And here's a couple things to think about. You can pray or you can panic. You can worship or you can worry. Did you know that worry is just basically stewing without doing? We can live in that kind of life where we can understand and be reminded that Jesus came to carry the burdens of life that we were never meant to carry on our own. He came to bear the weight of this world on his shoulders. And you weren't designed to do that, yet we try to do that every single day. Why not give it to Jesus? His shoulders are big enough. You see, Christ's presence brings peace of spirit, peace of emotion in our hearts, and he also brings some relational peace. Because around Christmas time, man, we all have strained relationships, especially with family. But around Christmas time, you know, our strain and our stress in family relationships just tends to blow up a little bit. Christmas tends to highlight the brokenness. And like Christ was the peacemaker in your relationship with God, Christ came to give you the peace that you can build in your relationships with other people. Christmas is the perfect time to experience healing in relationship with someone else. Christmas is the perfect time to make peace with somebody else, to be able to give to somebody else what God gave you. And Jesus came to give you grace, and it's a great opportunity for us to extend grace to a loved one, a friend or family member, someone in church or someone at school or someone at work. It's not too late to mend a relationship because Christ brought you the gift of peace with his presence. And the fourth gift that he gives you in his presence, Christ's presence brings goodwill. Speaking of relational peace, God gave you goodwill. He gave you his son, Jesus Christ, as an act of his good intentions. That's right. Christ's birth is God showing you his favor. God showing you his favor and putting his hand on you to love you, to care for you, and to let you know that he wants you to have the best possible life you can possibly have. You have a God who wishes goodwill, who in Jesus Christ gives you an act of his goodwill towards you. Not ill will, not judgment, not wrath, not harm, but you have a God of goodwill. A God of goodwill for your life. And that's exactly what the shepherds experienced. Remember, he says, peace on earth and goodwill toward men. And here's what happens to the shepherd when they experience Jesus. When they experience the angels, they run off and they visit Jesus and Mary and Joseph in the stables. And here's the results of that in Luke chapter 2, verses 17 to 20. It says, when the shepherds had seen Jesus, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Just as they had been told. So here you have the shepherds experiencing the goodwill of God, the understanding of a Savior that had been born to them, a God who showed them peace, a God who displayed to them his power, gave them his love. And all of that so filled the shepherds that they were filled with joy. I mean, they were all jacked up and ready to just celebrate what God was doing and to go and to share it with everybody. I said it on Sunday morning. I'll say it again today. It was like Ebenezer Scrooge on Christmas morning after he was visited by the three spirits. They were light as a feather. They were lightheaded with joy. They were as giddy as a schoolboy. I mean, they were just ready to share everything that God had done in their life, to share joy, to share the peace of the Lord with the entire town. And that's exactly what they did. They wanted to go about and see people blessed. They wanted to spread the good news of God's word. And that is the result of what happens when you encounter Christ. When you encounter Jesus, it so fills you with his joy, it so blesses you with God's goodwill and his good nature, that all you want to do is share it wherever you go. And wherever you go, you offer a blessing. Wherever you go, you offer a Merry Christmas on your lips. You speak life-giving words into people. And that's what it means to go and give the goodwill of God. Because Jesus didn't just come to give you goodwill. He came to equip you to be one who could share his goodwill with other people. And that is the desire to see the best happen in others and to share the joy of the Lord that God had given you in his goodwill and to share that goodwill with others. So this Christmas, I pray that you get some really good gifts. But I also pray that you receive and understand the greatest present that you could ever experience. And that is the presence of God, the presence, and all the gifts that come with it. The presence of God in Jesus Christ brings gifts of good news. Good news for a bad news society. He brings salvation into our life. Praise be to God because we need to be rescued. He brings peace in our life for minds that just run wild and challenges that just feel like they're weighing down on our shoulders. And he shares with you the gift of goodwill, a God who is for you. And in that calls you to share that same goodwill with everyone that you come in contact with. Praise be to God. I just have one action step for you as you leave out of this place today. I want you to take out the card that was inside of your bulletin when you walked in today. And this is a card that shares with you and advertises our upcoming sermon series in January. We're talking about miracles in January. And oh, by the way, it's a perfect time to mention a miracle because we're talking about the birth of a Savior, the virgin birth of God in Jesus Christ for you and for me. Praise be to God. But we're going to continue the conversation in January, talking about the nature, talking about the power, and talking about the compassion of God expressed in His miracles. If we're honest, we all need a miracle, don't we? I mean, we all need a miracle in our life. And so we want you to come back for this sermon series entitled, and bring a friend with you, a family member with you. And the sermon series is entitled, Miracles, Making Your Impossible Possible. Did you know that miracles didn't just happen in Scripture 2,000 years ago? The miracles of God still happen today, and they happen all around you. Come and study with us the book of John and the seven miracles that Jesus displays in there as an act of His power and compassion. I know it's going to bless your life. Take this card home with you. We have more out there on the information desk. Share it with friends and family members. We would love to have you come back and be a part of that. Well, right now we get a chance to share in something powerful and something important. We get a chance to share in the sacred covenant of Holy Communion together, to be able to share the Lord's Supper. And we connect the Lord's Supper with Christmas. Christmas and Easter are connected because Jesus didn't come to just remain a cute little cuddly baby. Jesus came to die, to grow up, to become a man, to die on the cross for you and for me. He came and was born to die. That's what Jesus' purpose is. And He was raised on the third day, and He's alive forevermore. So I want to invite our ushers to come forward and those serving communion as we celebrate the Lord's table together. On that night in which He was betrayed, Jesus took bread and He broke that bread and He said, "Here, take and eat. And as often as you eat of this, do it in remembrance of me." After He broke the bread, He took the cup and He served wine and we served grape juice here. And He poured it out and He said, "This is my blood shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins." And He reminded them that there were no more sacrifices necessary. This is the one sacrifice for all time. I want to say to you tonight that it doesn't matter whether you've been to Rolling Plains Church before. It doesn't matter if you have questions of God, or it doesn't matter if you're not even sure if you know Jesus Christ. None of that matters. What matters is you're here. And if you're here, you're welcome to come forward and to partake of these elements. You may be visiting from another church because you're here with relatives or friends or whatever it might be. You are welcome to come to this table. This is an open table for all people. In a moment, you're going to tear off a piece of the bread and you're going to dip it in the cup and partake of the elements. But before we do that, can we offer up a prayer to God? God, You are an awesome and powerful God, and we just are so gratefully thankful for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth for all of us. Lord, we thank You that You showed Him to us and You've given to us as an act of Your goodwill that is good news of salvation and peace for our hearts and our souls. God, we thank You that He died on the cross for our sins. We thank You for something that was brutal and horrific, but yet, Lord God, what a gift to us. We thank You that He was raised from the dead and sits at Your right hand right now and intercedes for us. And all that began because He was born of a virgin. And for that, we give You great thanks. And it's in Your name that we say, amen.